A starburst of incandescent blue light. BBC Films. A searchlight rotates from the center of a globe as its golden countries and continents merge to form a square with the letters DCM beneath. Letitia, an elderly woman, stares ahead. BBC Films and DCM Productions present A Headline Pictures and Fionnuala Dwyer Productions production, in association with Decca and Hanway Films. Letitia's mouth forms a light smile as she annotates a sheet of music resting on the piano before her. She readies her fingers. Beecham House, home for retired musicians. Maggie Smith.
Thank you, ladies. Octavia's usual spot.
Tom Courtney, Billy Connolly, Pauline Collins, and Michael Gambon. Drops are poured into a glass and stirred with a finger until they fizz. Diva Anne gargles and sings. Quartet. In a luxurious indoor pool, Sissy, a smiling lady, bounces and splashes away to the steps where a carer is waiting to wrap her in a towel. Sitting on a bed, Wilf, a white-haired man with a moustache and playful eyes, watches a finger move left and right in front of his face. The young female doctor gets him to raise his arms up. As she helps him on with his jacket, he wraps an arm around her waist. Patiently removing his arm, she hands him his walking stick and he starts to dance with her before she gestures for him to go. As he goes, she shakes her head. Sitting in front of a large mirror on a dressing table, Cedric, a man in a silk dressing gown, dabs his face with makeup. He closes a drawer and rises. He then opens his stylish wardrobe and inspects the clothes therein. He flicks through the lavish gowns and picks one out that's decorated with a theatrically floral pattern. Bobby, a small, impeccably dressed man, irons a shirt in his room, pausing carefully to brush away dust from its collar. Reggie, with grey hair and a smart jacket, sings and conducts a fellow resident who's playing the piano. An old and polished cello is tuned, and its owner starts to play. Another old gent, Ollie, plays a clarinet. He stops with a sigh. From outside, the gardener approaches the grand and stately home. He reaches the glass doors and looks in with a smile. Inside the sitting room, the elderly residents are singing away as Letitia plays the piano while Bobby conducts and Cedric sternly oversees.
Nowhere near where you should be, Bobby. Give me the score, will you? Wilf, the gala's only a month away. I couldn't work out what you were doing. Can we take it from the top, please? I say godiamo, 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 la tazza, il cantico. You're going too fast for me. I'm sorry, Cedric.
It's Cedric.
Oh, Cedric. Could you give me the intro again, please? I say godiamo, godiamo. You did it again. I'm on fire here and you're holding me back.
Be quiet. You find this amusing? I don't. It won't be amusing if they shut this place down.
Ah, si, godiamo, 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 la tazza, el cantico, la
Thank you, Nigel. Bella, you're so riso, kind to do that. Thank you. Now stop, please.
The man said thank you. That's it. There's no end to your bloody talent.
Sissy, please pay attention.
Ready?
You must listen.
Never bother with him, a sissy.
Yeah.
He's a bully.
Now, Lottie, in bars 17, 18 and 19, you were deeply flat.
No, I don't think I was. I think the piano needs tuning.
And, darling, would you mind singing it for us?
I don't do chorus, Cedric. I never have. I achieved immediate international success at the Royal Opera when I was only 21 years old.
Cedric, we should have been using this room 5 minutes ago.
Oh, yeah. Well,
the space is entirely yours, gentlemen. The rehearsals are over. Come along, Bobby. Come on, hurry up.
As they start to leave, a woman in a wheelchair sings. They sit down again and listen.
You're making a fool of a bar.
Wilf bends down and kisses her. Now, in the dining room, the residents sit at various circular tables.
Reggie, it's empty. You can't save seats.
Reggie?
He's not coming, Wilf, he's not coming.
Why now?
You seem to think that you own the thing.
We've been sitting at this table since I first came here.
Yes, that's precisely the point.
It's not fair, Reggie. We want the window sometimes, don't we?
Yes, if this place has to shut down in 6 months, which it very well might, then I want to try and remember I once had a fucking window seat.
Excuse me, please.
You can't deny it, Wilf, you soloists would be lost without us.
Say that once more and I swear I'll ram a fork up your jacksy, Harry.
He's right, Wilf.
Anybody got a fork?
And you know he is.
Make that two forks. Oh, merci, Angelique. Have you done something new with your hair?
No, I just put my fringe in front.
Oh, I love your fringe in front.
I gave you extra slice of fried bread this morning.
I noticed.
And your favourite, apricot jam.
Oh, magnifique, Angelique. Fancy vous a little rumpy-pumpy ce soir?
Qu'est-ce que c'est, rumpy-pumpy?
Oh, secrets of the marriage bed. You'll have to answer my proposal first.
Bon appétit. Ready?
Remember the emergency meeting, 12:50.
Cedric, breakfast time.
This is critical.
All members of the gala committee, please note, we have a serious problem with our star tenor, Frank White. As such, there's an emergency meeting at 12 noon, precisely.
Reggie, don't forget to remind me.
I'll set my watch.
Hey, what's this? Look. Didn't you say today was the day, Reg?
What's today?
Tarek's setting off to fetch the new arrival.
What, this to be a new arrival?
Sissy, we've talked about it for days. You too.
Who is it?
They'd only send a van for the star.
Mm-hmm.
When I came, I had to pay for my own taxi.
They sent a private car with a chauffeur for me.
Well, this is a replacement for Leonard Timms. He was a real dear friend of mine. I'm really going to miss him terribly. He was a genius, you know. He could fart at will.
Yeah, Wilf, we're having breakfast.
I'm not kidding.
But don't let that stop you.
I swear it's true. I saw it with my own eyes. He got down on all fours and went into a meditative state. And when he was ready, he could exhale and inhale through his anal canal.
Yeah, I suppose that's the stroke talking.
I suppose it must be. Hey, Sissy, do you think I could replace Nobby for a quick one in the long grass? You have the nicest tits I've ever seen in my life.
Thank you.
Reg, you've got to try this jam. It's unbelievable. It's like eating Christmas.
Reggie gives him a frosty look, and Wilf puts the jam back on the table. The black van that's been parked outside heads off down the long drive. From the high window of a grand townhouse, a distinguished white-haired woman looks down at the street as men move boxes into the back of the black van. The chauffeur enters the empty room she's standing in and starts to lift a large case. The woman suddenly turns with an alarmed look.
Be careful with that one. It's fragile.
I come back for your trunk and for you.
She looks sadly out of the window. Now, along a woodland road, the chauffeur is driving as the woman mutters to herself in the back seat.
There'll be different people there. Be kind. I can't do this. I can't stop. Stop.
You said to me something.
What did you say? Why are we stopping?
We are not. We are on the way.
Right.
Should I call Dr. Cogan?
No, thank you.
Wilf is sitting in a chairlift as he descends the main staircase.
So drained
oranges are beautiful. Do you like them, Martin?
Yes, I do, but I would never put them on the table.
Well, 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 this is new. I've never seen you arranging flowers before, Dr. Cogan.
Really, Wilf? Haven't you noticed we've cut down on staff in the past few months?
And is this for the new arrival? Is it? Or is that a secret? Is it, Marta? Is that a new skirt you're wearing, Dr. Cogan? It clings beautifully to you. And how it accentuates your already beautiful legs. My goodness, what do you think of that, Marta?
I don't talk such things.
You're overstepping the line, Wilf. Go for your walk.
I would love to, if only you would come with me.
Go for your walk.
May I? I wonder if you could help me. I can never do this without my glasses. I can't see a thing.
You don't have a buttonhole, Wilf.
Well, there you go. You know, I could propose to you, but this is as close to kneeling as I get.
Go it for your walk.
Sure. Would you like to join me, Marta?
I don't do such things. He's a very naughty boy, Marta.
He could be your father or your grandfather.
Like that. OK. Swing it close to the ground. That's it, that's it. Like a pendulum, just like this.
When you're finished being a croquet expert, Nigel, I'll have a pound sizzle, I'll kick your arse.
Yeah, the way you play, you probably will. You forget, I saw your Barbara of Seville, and your singing brought tears to my ears.
Saw you in Carmen, I'll never forget it, but I'll try.
Wilf walks through the garden and finds Ollie playing clarinet in the shade of a gazebo. Ollie grabs his heart and takes a pill, spilling the others on the decking. Wilf watches with concern. He raises a thumb inquiringly, to which Ollie raises his own back. Now, by the ornate pond...
Morning, Nobby.
Ah, morning, Mr. Bond.
Simon, what's up?
Oh, good, mate.
Oh, by the way, Nobby, if you get a chance, I could use another one of the usual. Do you need any money?
Nah, it's all right. Look, I've got some change from last time. I'll stick it in the usual place.
Oh, and watch it. Sissy Robson's been looking for you all morning. Can't think why. I'm the most attractive man in the place.
Wilf joins Reggie and Sissy at one of the tables on the lawn.
I read somewhere that the average man thinks of sex every 7 seconds.
Do you?
I wish it was only every 7 seconds. Do you know, the first time I set eyes on her, I thought she was the most beautiful, sexiest creature I'd ever clapped my eyes on. Oh, Sissy, Sissy, my love. Can you imagine the passionate love we might have made? But it's not too late. We can still dive beneath the blankets and cuddle each other till the end of time. What do you say to that, sweetie?
Ready? Why are you laughing? You'll never guess what I've been listening to. Our Rigoletto. We are so lovely.
Sissy, the gala committee.
Oh, God. Oh.
This was the last time we sang it. Remember, Roger?
Why have they reissued it?
I don't know. I remember the recording session, the production, everything, like it was yesterday, and yet I can't remember what I had for breakfast this morning.
They got jam.
Rigoletto, Horton and Paget. You'll notice my name isn't there, of course. Although I should have been top of the bill, I had the name part. Still, I made a living from it, which was all I really wanted. I'm not like you, you see, Reggie. You're an artist. I'm an artisan.
Where's my bag? I can't find my bag. Where is it? Oh, thank you, Reggie. And you're safe back from Karachi, and I'm so glad. Oh.
Why Karachi?
Well, her father was Indian Army.
Do you think she's getting worse, Reg?
Yes.
I'm born famous. I'm sort of known.
If your son doesn't, I bet your daughter...
I bet your daughter knows. Boom, boom, shh. Reg, you might as well get used to it. Rap's here to stay.
Oh, I don't think it is.
That's what you said about the Beatles.
Well, it isn't music.
They think it is.
Who?
The kids you're talking to.
And that's what we mean when we say that a thing. She's welcome as flowers that bloom in the spring. Tra-la-la-la-la-la, tra-la-la-la-la-la, the flowers that bloom in the spring.
Tra-la-la-la-la, tra-la-la-la-la, tra-la-la-la-la.
That's good.
Now, this is a bloody disaster. Really?
Come in, Sissy.
What?
Sissy.
You're late.
Sorry. I said I was sorry.
Sit down. Frank White has just pulled out. He doesn't feel up to the gala. It's even in the local paper.
He's not well.
Darling, Frank White. Oh, he's such a lovely man.
This is a disaster. Because he's pulled out, ticket sales have already fallen by 60%. Yeah. The givers aren't giving. We can't make the gala into the hottest ticket in town. This house could collapse about our ears. Oh, we could lose it. We have to find a replacement for Frank immediately.
Who was it who said, old age is not for sissies?
I always remember that, you know, because it's my name and sissies.
Sissy, if you must speak, please raise your hand. Now where was I?
This is a disaster.
Of course, yes, it is a disaster. Yes, what?
She's raising her hand.
What?
Betty Davis.
Betty Davis, she said, old age is not for sissies.
Silencio! Silencio! Shut it! You will choose a different song immediately. I have no tra-la-la at my gala. None of it.
What about Reggie, La Donna Immobile?
I just had a brilliant idea. Do ask Reggie if he's singing La Donna Immobile. Oh. What?
Reggie's a bit funny about La Donna Immobile.
Your job is to ask him. Please put your hand arm down.
He won't do it.
That was my idea.
Yes, it was.
The black van makes its way up the drive to the home. Its elderly passenger looks out of the van's window apprehensively as they approach the home's grand facade, where Dr. Cogan stands waiting. Inside, Sissy and the others go up to the window and peer out.
Look!
The woman gets out of the van. And narrowly avoids a passing laundry trolley.
Excuse me, love.
Dr. Cogan approaches and gestures to the building.
Here.
The woman hands her an overcoat to carry. Now they're both walking through the sumptuously furnished main hall, where a huge portrait hangs above a fireplace.
Most of our residents are on the floor upstairs. This is Sir Thomas Beecham. He was one of Britain's greatest conductors.
Yes, I know who he was. He inherited a fortune his grandfather made laxatives, naming a nursing home after him is frighteningly apt.
These flowers are here to welcome you. I have them sent up to your room. We're very lucky to have you here. Your room is as large as Anne Langley's.
Oh, God, is she here?
It's a beautiful suite in what we call the B wing.
Well, it sounds like a prison.
The service lift is currently being repaired, but we have the chairlift, which will be much easier for you.
Chairlift? What do I do when I get to the top? Ski down?
They both turn at the sound. Residents have gathered at the banister of the upper gallery.
Oh, how very kind. Oh.
The woman opens her arms with a smile, which falls when she sees Anne clapping slowly. Reggie and Wilf are playing croquet outside.
Yeah, we could always do the barber, you, Sissy and me, for the gala. You moved your ball.
That's unthinkable. How dare you?
I just saw you move it with your foot. Yeah, Wilf, she's married.
She gave me a look. Your shot.
Thank you, Wilf.
You're never going to get it from there anyway.
Oh, you watch me.
Told you.
You know, I always wanted to sing Wagner. Tristan never came my way. Wilf, what are you doing?
What does it look like I'm doing? Wagner.
There are people watching.
The British should stick to British composers like Rossini, Donizetti, Verdi.
Boys. I know who it is. I saw her. George was right, it is a star, but you'll never, never guess who it is, never.
Well, tell us, don't keep us in suspense for eternity.
No, you won't believe it. As large as life and twice as terrifying. It's gone.
Think, Sissy, think.
Soprano, beginning with G.
Mary Gardner.
No.
Rita Gore.
No, oh, God. Gilda.
Gilda?
Our Gilda.
Rigoletto?
Yes.
Jean Horton?
Yes. Jean Horton, yes.
Reggie starts to walk away.
Oh, my darling.
Steady, Reg.
Excuse me, Dr. Cogan. That's why you kept it such a secret. You didn't want me to know.
You mean Jean Horton?
Yeah, I should have been consulted.
She was such a
a huge star.
I should have been consulted.
Well, she didn't want media attention.
She didn't want? Nothing changes. What about what I didn't want?
It had nothing to do with you, Reginald.
No, obviously not!
I mean, it was simply at her request.
She did know that I live here. She did know that I live here.
Reggie, I'm sure she's going to be amicable.
With great respect, Dr. Cogan, you don't know her. You don't know her.
He goes to the window and looks out across the drive.
I wanted a dignified senility. That chance, now she's here. I'll have to find somewhere else to live. Sod it.
Don't you have one of your talks tomorrow, Reggie?
What?
Your talk with the children tomorrow.
Oh, God. Excuse me.
In the sitting room, an opera is showing on the TV. Anne.
Why don't they have tenors like John Vickers anymore? They just don't exist.
And Franey was such a wonderful Desdemona.
Oh, I loved singing that role. It was so easy for me. Poor thing, she's having such a hard time.
Sissy, Canasta, you've won.
I win! You cheated.
Nonsense, how
dare you. Who is that smoking?
George and Harry.
Nobody, nothing.
How many times I've told you, smoking kills. Put those out, please.
What?
Drop them on the floor, please. Thank you.
Oh, for goodness sake, give them a break. George is 78, Harry's 82. Suppose they were to stop smoking, how much longer are they going to live? A week? It would probably rain that week anyway.
You are a bad influence, Wilfred.
I think so.
Have you seen Reginald?
He went to bed early. But don't worry about him. He's as tough as a monkey's tail, Reggie.
I think we should worry more about Jean Horton.
In her room, Jean takes out a vinyl record from a box. It's one of her own albums with a picture of her younger self on the cover. As she tries to plug in the record player, Dr. Cogan approaches a door from outside.
Miss Horton? Are you all right?
Yes.
Isn't that a lovely room?
A frosty nod.
Well, you've had a very long day. You might want to retire early.
Yes, I've not yet entered second childhood, so please don't talk to me so I have. Just leave me be, and I'll take my meals in my room.
We don't usually serve the residents in their room.
I presume you do when the residents are unwell. I am unwell.
Well, I hope you feel better soon.
Looking awkward, Dr. Cogan leaves. With effort, Jean slowly raises herself up, using a chair for support. She then slumps down into it and raises her hand to her head. Dr. Cogan makes her way across the upper gallery and pauses outside Reggie's room, knocking at the door. In the evening air, Reggie's standing outside on a stone balcony above the home's entrance, as a resident plays cello in the room just behind. Reggie's staring through a window into the gently lit room where Jean's sitting in her chair, lost in her thoughts. Now, views of the home's grounds, with the sun shining on a light mist and the autumnal leaves of the trees. In the practice room, a few of the residents are rehearsing around a grand piano.
So please her amounts regret if we have failed in etiquette. Towards a man of rank so high, we shall know better by and by. But you, of course, must have this thing to pardon us, to pardon us. Don't even go us have this thing to
pardon. Handymen Nobby and Simon are busy with a plant pot outside.
Morning, Miss Robson.
I'm coming right down.
Good morning, Nobby.
La 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 la.
Speaking down from his window, Wilf grabs his crotch, an act which Nobby mimics. In her room, Jean's roused from her dozing by the sounds. She gets up from her chair and scratches her head as she sees her luggage is stacked nearby.
Reggie!
Wilf edges into Reggie's empty room and turns off the rap on the radio. In the sitting room, Akira is vacuuming the floor. Wilf makes his way across the room and opens the door to the medical room to discover Cedric having his nails manicured by Angelique at a table.
Oh, excuse me, this room is occupied, Wilf.
Oh, I'm sorry. And don't do your toes the same colour. It's considered gauche.
No breeding.
Doctor, have you seen Reggie?
Yes, he's using the computer in my office.
Thanks.
Using his cane, Wilf makes his way back through the chairs, passing the carer who's still vacuuming.
Good morning.
You okay, Mr. Bond?
He's stopped.
Mr. Bond, are you okay?
I'm just a bit dizzy. Fine.
He falters.
Ooh.
But carries on. Outside the computer room, he knocks on the door, opens it, and finds Reggie sitting at a screen.
Reg? You okay? Can I get you a coffee?
I'm preparing my talk.
Anything?
Reggie smiles politely and browses a hip-hop website.
Reg, coffee?
Close the door behind you, please.
Yeah, okay.
In her room, Jean's at a dressing table with her breakfast laid out on it.
Well, come in. Jean? It's me, Sissy. Cicely Robson.
Oh, yes, of course it is. Yes, do come in.
Lovely room, bigger than mine.
How nice to see you.
And you haven't unpacked yet. I've been telling everyone you still look like a young girl.
I don't feel it. Look. I'm on the waiting list for a new hip.
Oh, dear. Lovely jewels. You look beautiful.
You haven't changed a bit.
Did they serve you breakfast in your room?
Of course.
A bus is outside.
Who are all these children?
It's probably Reggie giving one of his classes.
Yes, of course. Reginald Paget's here, isn't he?
Yes.
Now, I'd like to ask if any of you have a favourite singer. Don't be shy.
Lady Gaga?
Lady Gahu? Lady Gaga, I don't know about Lady Gaga. Anyone else? You? Do you like Lady Gaga? Fed?
No, Lady Gaga's pop. I like hip-hop, period.
Hip-hop, period? Is that the same as rap?
No, it's different, slightly.
But would you mind telling me what rap is?
Tell me what opera is.
Yes, I will. I will eventually. No, you tell me what rap is, and then I'll tell you what opera is.
How about you tell me what opera is, and then later on I'll tell you what opera is.
There you go. What can I do? You know, originally, it was people just like you went to the opera. They had casual clothes, they took food, they took alcohol, they threw things. Anyway, that was a long time ago. Rich people took over the world of opera with their fancy dress, and they took the soul out of it. They made it something that it's not. What is it, what is it?
Would you wait for me, Sissy, dear?
What? Oh, sorry, I'm so excited. I've woken up with the black dog on my shoulder from time to time, and it doesn't last for long, you see, how could it? Because everyone here looks after each other and...
Make up your mind, dear, please.
And there's so much to enjoy here. People coming and going, new faces, old friends, new hobbies.
What's that dreadful noise?
I meant to be in there.
Side-to-side basic. Sissy, you're missing my class. Come in, darling.
Sissy joins the dance.
Well, I'm back.
Jean stands aghast in the doorway as a man shuffles towards her.
Side to side now. Shake it, ladies. Shake it.
This is not a retirement home. This is a madhouse.
She sees Bobby.
Hello.
He gives Sissy a note and she comes back out.
Birthday benefit gala, emergency top secret.
Gee, didn't that used to be Bobby Swanson?
Yes.
Well, you didn't seem to recognise me, isn't that odd?
Birthday benefit gala, emergency top secret.
Oh, whose birthday, mate? Is it till January the 6th?
No, not yours, darling, no. No, Verdi's birthday. There's a benefit gala and we're all expected to perform.
What, perform?
Yes, we all do what we do.
At our age, it's ridiculous.
No, it isn't. Everybody can do something.
Well, I'm not singing at Verdi's gala or anybody else's. I don't sing anymore, and that is final.
Jean, I was listening to our Rigoletto this morning, and we were all so good, but, Jean, your Gilda was magnificent.
Yes, I know. I know I never took less than 12 curtain calls. Never. Well, where is Reggie?
I think he's round here.
Opera is when a guy is stabbed in the back. Instead of bleeding, he sings. It seems to me, after much research, that rap is when a guy is stabbed in the back, instead of bleeding, he talks, rhythmically, even with feeling. But because rap's spoken, the feeling is sort of held in check, all on one note.
I think he's in here. This is the little music room. This is the little music. He'll be in the big music room because that's where they do all the big lectures in here. Yes. You'll be thrilled to see him.
In opera, we sing what we're feeling. And the song, the rise and fall of the music sets our emotions free. If you ask me, I'd say to you that opera is simply the outpouring of all the emotions that all of us carry inside us. Now, Joey, I think it's your turn.
Show him what you can do.
He can actually do rap.
Really good.
Come on.
All right. Opera's where you sing your ass on stage. Rap is where you're trying to get your ass paid. You're talking horny, but we get laid. We can't help what we talk about. We just talk and you sing it out. Opera make you feel the pain too. We wake up, we're 16 years old. We look outside, the sky stays cold. See, there's pain in my heart, and every day I wake up and it's damaged. But opera, you sing it out loud, get stabbed in the back, you seem to manage. Everybody thinks that opera and rap are two completely different things, but it's just talking for us, and for you it's just the way that you sing. And everybody knows how we do it, Holmes, because the sky, I don't know, whatever, man.
Fantastic. Thank you, Joey. Now, very good, it's going very well. Don't go away. We're going to, yes, come in.
It's us.
Reggie freezes as the class turns to the doorway and then looks quizzically back at him.
Can I help you?
Jean stares at him impassively and then backs away and goes, leaving Sissy looking with concern at Reggie, before turning and following.
Where was I? Rigoletto is one of Verdi's masterpieces. It's about infidelity.
Outside.
Oh, Reggie, how'd the talk go?
Reggie walks off through the garden.
Reggie?
Now Wilf's walking to a large greenhouse. He goes inside and starts looking through the numerous, colourful stage gowns hanging there. He retrieves a bottle of alcohol from a gown and pockets it smoothly. Back outside, he makes his way across a bridge and then comes to a clearing where Reggie's standing alone. Wilf shows him the bottle with a cheeky look. Near the house, children are playing football in the tennis court as Sissy walks by with Jean.
Jean, shall we just
I don't care what we do, really.
Oh. Nobby really ought to have a go at this pond.
Oh, it's filthy.
Here we are. Oh, there's Ollie. Daisy! Daisy Joe! Look at you. Give me a hug. This is my friend Jean.
Hello, Jean.
Which hand?
That one.
Yes!
Daisy, it's time to go home.
Off you go. Say goodbye.
Goodbye, sissy.
Bye-bye, sweetheart.
What's your name again?
Jean.
Bye, Jean.
Bye.
Must be lovely to have visitors like family. Will you, Jean, have visitors?
The crowns are nice.
Yes.
Wilf pours two glasses.
I'm not like you, Wilf. I positively liked getting old. I think I can say that I made the transition from opera singer to old fart with aplomb. And then Jean arrives and shatters everything.
You know, I remember thinking about you when you get married. She was always much more ambitious than
you. Of course she was more ambitious than me. She was more ambitious than everyone.
If I know anything about
her... What can you know about it?
I was your best man.
Yeah, of course you were, but you were married to the same woman for 35 years. Call me old-fashioned, Wilf, but did she know you were unfaithful to her God knows how many times?
You say some very harsh things, Reg. I think I'll have myself a whittle.
Reggie helps him get up.
And you were right, you know. I do hate getting older. I hate every bloody moment of it. If it isn't piles, it's bloody prostate or peeing five times a night if you're lucky.
Sissy and Jean approach.
Ah! Ladies! You may want to avert your gaze. Wise man goes when he can, the fool goes when he must.
Look, here's Jean in all her glory.
Oh, Jean. You haven't changed a jot.
Didn't I tell you? Didn't I say she still looks like a young girl?
Reggie, don't I get a kiss? Reg? Now, I apologise for hurting you. Please be kind to me. We were different people then. There, I've been rehearsing that all the past week.
He's upset because he wasn't warned you were coming.
I'm not upset.
Well, Reg, this is the first time we've seen each other in God knows how many years.
97.
Is it really that long? God, how time flies. You're joking.
Sissy.
Bobby, give us a clue, for God's sake. Is it a book, a film, a play?
Sissy, the note.
I couldn't read your writing.
Meeting, now.
Oh, God, the emergency meeting.
Well, I wonder
Where's
what
Reg?
That was all about.
Where's Reg?
Reggie's leaving.
Reg!
With her cane, she follows. Now she's on a woodland path with views of the open, rolling green countryside below. The path leads down to a gateway, and she pauses as she sees the building beyond, partially hidden by the trees. She arrives at the building, which is an old church. She heads inside.
Rich. Richie?
He's sitting stoically up front. He knocks a book as he turns.
Oh, there you are. What are you doing there?
Leave me in peace, Jean.
Oh, dear, I thought miles to find you.
Leave me in peace.
Reggie.
Leave!
Her gaze falters and she looks away, overcome. He walks down the aisle towards her. He stops at her pew and pulls out a handkerchief, which she takes and holds to her mouth.
Of
Can't ever remember you crying.
I don't remember you being religious.
I'm not. I was trying to avoid you.
I apologise for hurting you. Please be kind. We were different people then.
You just said that, Jean. You're repeating yourself.
God. Why do we have to get old?
That's what people do.
We have to come to some arrangement.
I don't want to talk about it. You're here, I'm here, trapped.
So what are we going to do?
Grin and bear it.
What happened to forgive and forget?
He bitterly shakes his head and stares out through the doorway.
This cologne takes me back.
He looks at her.
It takes me back to you, Rich.
He continues looking as she gazes downwards. In the gardens, Wolf returns over the bridge and goes back into the greenhouse. Putting the bottle back, he peers through the hanging robes and spies Dr. Cogan sitting, calmly smoking a cigarette. Letting out a plume of smoke, she turns her head and meets his amused stare. In the music room, a young girl's playing piano, closely watched by Letitia, who sits beside her as a few of the residents play cards.
We will make sure you get a better one next time. All right? Okay. Have a little go, see how you get on.
Okay.
Now, Ollie joins in with the clarinet. Sitting behind with the others, Letitia taps the beat out in the air with her hands. Sissy watches and gives a smile. The girl bows, and Sissy gives her a sweet.
Hello, my name's Isla Matheson.
Hello, my name's Iona Matheson.
And we'll be playing...
Girl Talent Worldie.
Sissy smiles again as the two girls stand poised with their violins. She nods gently to the music. Outside, in the soft glow of the dying afternoon light, Reggie stands with his scarf wrapped around his neck as he looks out across the rolling countryside, the breeze gently ruffling his grey hair. The bare trees softly sway, shot through with golden rays from the sun as it rests behind delicate strokes of cloud. Now, on the lawn, he's sitting at a bench with a cup of tea nearby. Jean comes by and pauses as she sees him absorbed in his book. She coyly leans on her cane and then approaches with a smile.
Would you like to go for a walk?
Reggie doesn't move, his teacup suspended in mid-lift. She looks about at the other residents at their tables and then back at him with a playful inclination of her head. Later, in a wooded area, they're both sitting on a bench, looking about awkwardly as a quartet plays in a gazebo nearby.
Were you married 4 or 5 times?
I was only married twice. After you. Charlie Tripper. He was a businessman. Mixed pleasure with business rather too often. And Edward...
Fitzroy.
Yeah, he wanted me to retire. Have a family, so that was the end of that. You never married again?
No.
Why not?
Didn't want to.
When I did Bohem at the Met and you backed out, was that because of me?
No.
And Salzburg?
No.
Oh.
She looks at him sadly, and he nods at her.
What brought you here?
Wolf was ill.
He had a stroke, didn't he?
Yes, it was only a mild one, thankfully. It's affected his frontal lobe, and he has trouble censoring himself.
Is that it?
Well, so he says. So I came here to see how Wolf was getting on.
And stayed?
I love singing. I like my life. You can't have both, can you?
No.
No, you can't.
They walk.
I have nothing. Well, my clothes, a bit of jewellery, and a hip that gives me hell.
And here you are.
Yeah, here I am, on charity. God, it's embarrassing. I wouldn't tell anyone. And the press have always been mean to me. They learned I'd landed up here. God, how they'd gloat.
Did the press still have any interest in you?
Oh, do you... Oh, piss off, Reg.
Bitch! There she goes. See her? Angelique. Bitch! Cow! Sodding frog! She won't give me marmalade at breakfast. She gives me apricot jam.
Oh, you hate apricot jam.
Bitch! Skinny-arsed French twat.
Stop it, Reggie.
They continue walking along the woodland path.
So, Jean, what made you stop singing?
You mean for good?
Yes, for good.
I just became so scared. Suddenly the pressure was huge. I became so aware of the critics, you know, the importance of getting a good review. Whatever you did had to be good or, well, better than before. And, of course, it can't be. I got so nervous. I just could not sing anymore. I just...
You know this?
His book.
Works of art are of an infinite loneliness and nothing... and reach them so little as criticism.
She smiles and flips the book shut. Suddenly, Angelique and Simon rise from the undergrowth, brush themselves off, and then see Reggie and Jean.
We weren't doing anything.
Neither were we.
Underneath the arch.
In the music room.
Where is she?
She will be here.
Excuse me! Are you planning to do this at the gala?
Certainly. Yes.
Well, I've changed my mind. I don't think it's sophisticated enough.
What do you mean it isn't sophisticated enough?
Exactly what I say. What did I say?
It's not sophisticated enough.
There you are.
Well, we are going to do it.
Underneath the arches, we dream.
We started half an hour ago. You're late.
I had to get my bag.
Have you asked Reggie to sing La Donna Mobile at the gala?
Oh, God. No, I forgot.
Good. Don't. I have a brilliant idea.
What is it?
Oh, I've forgotten it. You remember it. What was that?
We haven't said it yet.
I told you this morning at breakfast. I told you this morning at breakfast.
You didn't.
And you. I told you. You were sitting outside with us. What is it? You must know it. Oh, for God's sake, you cretins. I'll find it eventually. Yeah, go and find Wilf. Go on. Now, where was I?
Who?
Wilf! And the reason I've asked you here is because I've had a brilliant idea.
Excuse me while I shut out Tit Willow Cedric.
Cedric, a brilliant idea. Terrific, I'll explain to you now.
Sorry, I missed that last bit, Cedric.
Cedric.
Oh, Cedric, of course, of course.
Now that Jean is here and the four of you are together again, I put it to you that you should perform at the gala the quartet from Rigoletto.
That's amazing. I've just been listening to us. The Rigoletto.
Think of the publicity. The Times, the Telegraph, Opera Magazine. We have four of the finest singers in English operatic history.
We already know the bloody thing. We'd hardly have to rehearse.
But Jean won't sing it.
Put your hand up.
Put your hand up?
Oh, but you must change her mind. She's a huge draw.
Don't you put your hand up for anything.
It would be as if Maria Callas were making a comeback.
No, I don't think I want to sing with Jean again.
Why not?
They were married once, but it didn't work out.
Sissy, please. No, I don't want to. It wouldn't be right.
Well, it's a shame. I can't count the number of galas you've had graced over the years with your incomparable voice, and I mean that sincerely. I don't think you realise it, Reggie, but people still talk about your Celeste Aida 4 years ago and your Ave Maria 2 years ago. For what it's worth, when I heard you sing Nessun Dorma at the gala last year, all I thought was, eat your heart out, Pavarotti. Reggie, I know you don't think much of me, but with this one concert, we could get enough money to keep this place going for the rest of the year, and possibly even the next.
It's true.
You could help save Beecham House, Reginald. Well, I have an important meeting now. Do excuse me.
Shut up!
And you could persuade Jean to sing.
It's only one gala, Reggie.
Why don't the three of us ask her out to dinner?
Well done, Reggie.
Reggie, thank you.
Excellent.
Now, I'll write a little note, Sissy, and perhaps you'll be good enough to deliver it.
Yes.
They both kiss him. Jean's in her room as Sissy comes in with the note.
Sorry.
Wilf's with Dr. Cogan.
Just two favours.
Exactly what do you propose?
The Swan Restaurant, just the four of us, Sissy, Reggie and me. If we could convince Jean to sing at the gala, we're talking serious money here. I mean, even Cedric reckons we could charge Covent Garden prices.
In by 10:30, no later.
12:30?
No.
You sure?
Yes.
What kind of cigarettes does you smoke again?
He gives a winning smile, and she smirks back with a shake of her head.
12:30, no later.
Done, Lucy.
Please, call me Dr. Cogan.
Done, Dr. Cogan.
Why is it, Wilfred? I always get the impression you're up to no good.
Because I'm normally up to no good. And please, call me Wilf.
We've done this, remember. You don't have a buttonhole, Wilf. Why do you persist in flirting with me, Wilf?
Because you're a cracker. A thing of beauty. You're not a bimbo or a chick or any of those awful things. You're one of that rarest of species. You're a woman, Lucy Cogan.
Well, I'm flattered, but I have professional ethics to uphold.
Throw caution to the wind. What if we were to make beautiful music together? Your husband would never know.
That's reassuring, Wilf.
Think about it, eh?
No, Wilf.
No one would ever know.
I will know, Wilf.
Older man, vintage wine, seasoned wood.
Did you say wood?
Seasoned.
He raises his stick as he goes. In his room, Reggie's dressed in a suit, looking at himself in the mirror. Now he, Sissy and Wilf are on the stairs, waiting.
Remember, wait until she's totally legless before we hit her with it.
Yes, don't speak till she's legless.
She's coming.
Legless.
Yeah, I should never have agreed to this.
Here she comes. Here she comes.
She looks fairly all right-ish.
You look lovely, Jean.
You give a whole new meaning to the word chic.
It's so very, very kind of you.
It's the least we can do.
May I, Jean?
Thank you.
He takes her cane and gives her his arm instead. She beams as they walk down the stairs together. Outside in the twilight, he helps her into the black van. It sets off along the drive, which cuts through a carpet of burnished autumnal leaves. In the restaurant, they're at a table, their plates being taken away as Wilf pours wine into Jean's glass.
For you, Jean, a little toast.
Cheers.
All of us, to make you feel welcome.
Now, don't forget, you've got to make eye contact or it's bad luck.
I never heard of anything like that in my life.
It's the truth.
Nonsense.
Jean, do you ever listen to your old recordings?
Oh, no.
I do. I listen to us a lot. As a matter of fact, Reggie was meant to be singing La Donna e Mobile at the gala concert, but even more exciting, guess what? What?
La Donna e Mobile, qual plumo al vento, women are as fickle as a feather in the wind.
Oh, I fell in love with you when I first heard you sing that.
Yeah, that's why I never sang it again. I took 12 curtain calls.
No, you took 9, I took 12.
if you say so.
You know, the other night, I was at the garden, I was Sir George's guest, and I received a standing ovation.
Oh, how lovely. You're doing it again, Jean.
Doing what?
Repeating yourself. Oh, what's it matter? In opera, we repeat ourselves all the time, all the time, all
in
the
opera,
time.
In opera, we repeat ourselves all the time, repeat ourselves over and over.
I think you two are drunk.
I think I possibly am, although I find it very difficult to tell the difference at this age.
You're always drunk.
Let's have a toast to our quartet.
To the quartet.
What quartet?
Cedric wants us all to sing in the gala concert.
What else to sing?
He wants us to sing
the quartet from Rigoletto. It's
such an honour.
It's a great honour, Jean.
A great honour.
Very great honour.
The quartet.
Is that why you... I don't want any of this, please. Please. Is that why you asked me for this dinner?
No, we asked you because... Well...
Why?
Because we love you.
Why? Yeah.
She looks disbelievingly at Reggie, whose gaze drops.
I'm not singing in any quartet. I think you really are despicable.
She gets up and walks to the door, knocking into a chair as she goes.
Did she say yes?
No.
Reggie looks back down. Now, in a darkened room, a record is put on. Its label reads, Jean Horton. Jean's sitting in her chair in the darkness of her room, staring ahead and miming numbly as her record plays. On the table next to her is a picture of her younger self, partially obscured by a small pot of flowers. Her fingers delicately trace the rises and falls of the melody. It's morning, and the residents are at breakfast as Jean comes in. Sissy, Wilf and Reggie are glumly sitting together by the window as Jean marches up to them.
Excuse me. Let me ask you something. When did you last sing? This morning in the shower? And has anybody heard you recently? Any idea of the noise you make? I mean, what were you thinking of? Why'd you ask me out to dinner? Why didn't you just say you want us, average age 198, to sing the quartet from Rigoletto? It's an honour. It's not an honour. It's insanity. Is this your idea of revenge? I'm going to say something very rude to you. Fuck you.
With a haughty look, she turns and walks off, but stops and looks at Anne.
And you.
Anne attempts a dignified poise as Jean leaves the room, and a carer smirks. Suddenly alarmed, Bobby stands, looking through the window into the garden.
Oh my God, Ollie's.
Clutching his chest, Ollie's being wheeled away by paramedics. Dr. Cogan silently comes in and whispers to a carer.
Dwayne, Ollie's been taken ill. Ollie's been doing it here.
Morning. Ladies and gentlemen, can I have your attention, please? Sorry to interrupt your breakfast. It seems that Ollie Fisher is unwell. It's his recurring condition, but he is in the safest hands. I want to reassure you, he's on his way to hospital, and he's going to be absolutely OK. He's going for a checkup.
Dr. Cogan, he is still conscious, isn't he?
He's fully conscious, Norman, yes. And he wouldn't want any of us worrying now, would he? So you just enjoy your breakfast, OK?
George and Harry are at the piano.
With everything in life, I'd just like to ask you one question. Why, you silly so-and-so? With all your dough, are you having any fun? What are you getting out of living? What good is what you've got if you're not having any fun? Are you having any laughs? Are you getting any loving? If other people do, so can you have a little fun? After the honey's in the cone, little bees go out and play. Even the old grey any fun. You ain't gonna live forever.
Sissy passes with some flowers, but gives a hop and shuffles in time to the music.
Okay, have a little fun, son. Have a little fun.
Jean's room.
Go away, Sissy, please.
No, I know you're upset, so I brought you some flowers and I picked them myself. Oh, aren't they lovely? Look, I thought these might really cheer you up. And Nobby doesn't usually allow us to pick any flowers, and especially not the ones in the woodland, not even those. And I really wanted to get you bluebells because I know you love bluebells because we talked about them before. But I wondered also, would you like to talk about the quartet?
No, I would not like to talk about the quartet! Get out!
Sissy runs into a trolley on the gallery and collapses. The petals from her flowers fall to the floor below. It's night over the home, and the moon hangs in the clouds. Alone, Jean walks across the lawn and sits down on a bench. At Sissy's bedside, a carer looks at her watch as she checks Sissy's pulse. Reggie and Wilf are sitting at the foot of the bed, one on either side.
Is this my house? It's a lovely place.
This is Beecham House. It's not your room, it's another room.
You've come here to have a rest, Sissy.
You're... my friend.
Cheryl.
Cheryl, yes. Cheryl.
Mm-hmm. And this is?
Sissy looks with a blank expression.
Reggie.
She looks down.
And of course, this is the naughty, naughty man.
Hi, Sissy.
Where's my thing?
Oh, I got your bag here, Sissy.
That's my bag. This is mine.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah, see?
That's mine.
Mm-hmm. And what were you listening to? What's that?
Sissy, this is our quartet. You've been listening.
And it's new. It's new.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. This is the one they reissued.
This is new. Yeah, that's mine. Wilf. Wilf, that's my swimming costume.
It certainly is, Sissy.
Yes. Yes.
Dr. Cogan comes in, smiling nervously, and Cheryl goes to her. Sissy smiles.
This place is a godsend for me because I've got no husband and no children. I've got you.
And did you have, Sissy?
All of you. I think you should get some rest.
Jean finds Reggie and Wilf.
Have you seen Sissy?
Yes.
How is she?
She's
fine.
They pass her and head down the stairs. She moves across the landing with a worried look. In the medical room, Cheryl's at her desk, looking through notes, as Jean comes in and stands at the foot of Sissy's bed. But Sissy's asleep.
I'll come back in the morning.
Yes, of course, Miss Horton.
You'll be sure to tell her I came to see her.
Absolutely.
Jean, is that you? I thought I recognised your voice, as if one couldn't.
Frank White.
Yes,
Nothing serious, just one of my dizzy spells. But I won't be taking part in the gala.
I had no idea you were here. I would have come to see you earlier. Oh, dear Frank. I'm sorry you're not well.
What a fling we had.
What a fling indeed. Short, but you know, skinny.
And that beautiful hotel. And you.
Yes.
You've been up to your usual tricks.
Her smile fades.
Poor Sissy.
I don't know what came over me. I feel so ashamed.
She does so want to perform the quartet. Jean. Take part. If you can't sing at the gala, do conjuring tricks. The only alternative is to be guest of honour at the crematorium.
She looks at him with deep sorrow. In the street of the quaint and picturesque village, Nobby the gardener comes out of a shop with a bag. He crosses the puddled road and gets into the van before driving off. At the home, he trots up the stairs unnoticed by Wilf, Reggie, Bobby and Sissy, who are in the sitting room, listening to the piece. At Jean's door, he gives her the bag.
Thank you.
There's some change, Miss Horton.
No, you keep that. Could you give this to Mr. Paget?
Of course I will.
Thank you.
It's the only trio we could come up with, Bobby.
Are you sure about this, Wilfred?
Well, the three of us must have sang the Barber a dozen times.
You need at least six sessions.
Six?
Who's that from?
Miss Horton.
Reggie takes the note.
Did she say yes? Oh, how good of you to come. Please sit down.
Why don't you sit in the bed, Sissy?
I have some little gifts for you. First, I want to apologise, especially to you, Sissy. What I did to you was appalling, and I'm so very sorry. Thank you. And this is for you, Wilf.
Oh, thank you. I don't even remember you throwing flowers at me.
This is for you, Reggie. I really am very sorry.
My fault entirely. But I think I know what it is. Like marmalade.
A CD of our Rigoletto. How lovely.
Yes, I know you have copies, but these are signed, so they're rather valuable. And I wrapped them myself.
I thought perhaps you did. Well, is that it?
Yes.
They should do rather well on eBay, I would imagine. Come on, Sissy.
Have you changed your mind about the gala?
Well, of course she hasn't. I mean, why should she? It's only a celebration in honour of the greatest composer for the human voice who ever bloody lived, that's all.
You must understand, I was someone once.
I thought I was someone now.
Can't insult the memory of who I was.
What are you talking about memory? Whose memory? Your fans? Your fans are dead, gone, split, bought the farm. Except the ones who've moved in here and they're just waiting to die. We've all aged. It's crept up on all of us without us even noticing. I'm the same old Wilf I always was. Thankfully with a little bit of testosterone to keep me interested. Now I'm going to say something that's a wee bit rude here. Just fucking do it.
My gift deserted me.
It deserts us all, Jean. It's called life.
Oh, my darling. Old age is not for sissies.
No.
Jean, let go. What's it matter now what anyone says or thinks? You might even enjoy it.
You're telling me to go out and smell the roses?
No, I'm telling you to sing.
Oh, the roses are long gone. But the chrysanthemums are magnificent.
You certainly are.
Jean, if you say yes, Cedric will give us the finale instead of Anne Langley.
Anne Langley?
Yes. Yes, she wanted to sing Violetta, and she was, of course, a very fine Violetta.
Oh, pull yourself together, Sissy. Violetta's supposed to be dying of tuberculosis. She sounded as if she was singing Falstaff.
Well, she's singing Tosca now.
Over my dead body.
Is that a yes?
Jean and Reggie come down the stairs together. They walk through the main hall and Reggie opens a door for her. They pass through and into the dining room, where the residents are chatting away and the carers are standing by the wall. Passing Anne.
So you decided to sing in the gala after all?
Yes, they've persuaded me to join them in the quartet.
Really? I would have thought you would want to sing an aria, dear.
No, I prefer to sing with my friends.
How are your high notes nowadays?
Just a little shaky, dear.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Now, when I sang Gilda...
Yes, I heard it was a triumph. I remember my mother telling me about it.
Happy birthday to you.
A carer comes in carrying a cake with candles.
Happy birthday, Taylor. Happy birthday to you.
Speech, speech.
Now, when I played Gilda...
Reggie and Jean share a warm look. The outside of the old church, with the countryside stretching beyond. Inside, the orchestra practice. Reggie, Sissy and Wilf are sitting in the pews nearby, with Jean sitting apart on her own pew, lost in her thoughts. Reggie and Sissy glance at Jean with concern. Jean rises shakily and looks at the others.
I may crack on the high notes.
Reggie watches her walk away. In the home, a carer mops the floor of the hallway. By a piano, Reggie conducts. Outside, Dr. Cogan and Simon come out of the greenhouse, carrying bundles of robes and props. In the church, Jean converses with Letitia. Outside, Simon hauls a cart of scrap along a path. Jean throws her music sheet aside in frustration and walks off in a huff. Chairs are assembled in the home's performance room. Ornate theatre lights are screwed into the front of the stage floor. The robes are hung on a rail, the chairs are positioned, bulbs are screwed into a dressing room mirror, screens are carried in, and a large spotlight is set up. A piano's brought in. The screens are shut and the stage lights come on. Back in the church, Jean sings along to Letitia's piano playing. She finishes her note and smiles triumphantly. Guests arrive outside the home. Inside, Dr. Cogan's chatting with the mayoress.
And then Sir Thomas Beecham did the same in Britain. Hence Beecham House.
Ladies.
Thank you. Lady Mayor. Sorry. Thank you so much for coming.
Hello there. Nice. Thank you. Yes, one more. David Mayoress, come this way, please.
In the dressing area, Reggie's fixing Wilf's bow tie in the mirror.
I don't think that's possible. I think it's too late in the day for that. And I'll say something like Verdi's Rigoletto is a masterpiece and the quartet is one of the great milestones in the history of opera. Now, look at that. Perfect. And then I'll introduce each of us in turn.
No, wait a minute, Reggie.
What?
I'll go on last.
I'm sure we can live with that, can't we?
We certainly can, yes.
I remember.
What?
I've got to do Anne Langley's makeup.
It's not makeup she needs, it's a paper hanging job.
That's very naughty, Jean.
Make it nice and tight, make sure the middle bit's tight so it stays that way. Because it ends up just listening to Star.
No, it'll be.
It's too much, Reg. Do you think it's too much?
No, lovely.
Well, I don't think it'll work.
I do.
On stage,
good afternoon. Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Beecham House and our annual gala in honour of Giuseppe Verdi's birthday. First of all, I would like to express our debt of gratitude to the amazing Mr. Cedric Livingstone for organising the event.
Thank you so much. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Let me just say in all modesty that all great artists need a great director, you know. And here I am.
This year, in aid of our rebuilding programme, you have all given so generously, and we thank you for that with all our hearts. And because of that, the quartet and you have done it. Beecham House lives on.
Cedric claps along from his place amongst the audience.
I would also like to thank all those taking part in the gala itself. The preparations and rehearsals have kept everybody busy and very excited for the past few months. I and all my staff here feel highly privileged to have in our care such talented performers and gifted musicians who seem to find renewed energy when they anticipate performing before an audience. It keeps them young. And actually, let me just say something else, if I may, before we start. I and all my staff here at Beecham House, we owe those in our charge an enormous debt. They inspire us. Their love of life, as you well know, is infectious and gives us all faith in the future. I mean that. Thank you so much.
The curtains open to reveal a chorus of residents in their best dress. Conductor Bobby pretends to slip. He raises his baton. Bow, and Cedric looks about the audience.
Thank you.
In the dressing area.
Oh, my darling, it's so exciting. They loved the Brindisi. Oh, good.
Tati, quick, come and do my dress.
Okay, okay.
Make sure there's no black showing, yeah?
Okay.
Okay.
Dress is done.
The curtains pull back again, and Anne opens her arms to the audience. At Jean's mirror.
She likes this one, but I think it works.
Yes.
Jean looks worried and heads towards the stage. She peeps from behind the curtain.
Barbara Seville in the 60s in Covent Garden.
Yeah?
Who was that big fat mezzo soprano who was doing it with a little tenor in the bathtub? She got suctioned in. What was her name?
Oh, I can't remember.
London, remember? The wee guy couldn't get her out. She was Italian. The tenor had to dial the emergency services. What was her name?
Elisabetta Botticelli.
That's it, Elisabetta Botticelli. The Zier high notes were never the same again.
True. I almost think you take the last bit too quick.
You just keep now. We don't take it.
It's the last four bars.
Listen to Tommy on the trumpet. And that's
what about the trumpet? That doesn't matter about the trumpet.
Sometimes
you perfectly
slow
good.
Down
just take two steps after the end, well, the way we always do.
Anne smiles and bows. Three women dressed as geishas come on stage.
Again. How long were the two of you married?
9 hours.
9 hours?
Yeah.
What? 9 hours?
We were together for about a year and he finally got down on his knees and asked me to marry him. And I said, yes, he's very old-fashioned.
He still is.
I know. And we were going to get married in the January and then I got that offer from the Scala.
I remember that. I remember.
Yeah. But when I was at the Scala, I had a fling with that tenor.
Why? Why on earth would you do that?
Too much champagne. I was pissed.
They don't see Reggie, who's wandering by.
God, what was his name, that tenor?
I know who you mean. Roberto De Angelis. Yes. But he was so persuasive.
I know. No, anyway, we came back. We had this wonderful wedding breakfast, you know, with champagne and scrambled eggs. And I told him about Roberto.
Why on earth did you do that?
I wanted to be honest. Anyway, he was very angry.
So he walked out?
He ran.
Well, he was heartbroken, Jean.
So was I. So was I. It was the biggest mistake of my life.
Darling girl, you still have your future.
There's not a lot of it. Most of it's been.
No, I don't.
Underneath the arches, we'll dream our dreams away.
Are you having any fun?
Yes!
Are you having any fun? What are you getting out of living? What good is what you've got if you're not having any fun?
Do you know, darling, I last wore this in 1983. Arts Council tour of India, and I fell in love with the Maharaja.
Can I help you with that?
Oh, thanks.
Oh, this is... God, this is tight.
What's
this?
What's the matter?
I can't fasten it.
Oh, come on. Oh, well, I altered it. I altered it.
Yeah, well, I'm trying. I can't do it.
Well, try, just try.
I cannot fasten it. I can't fasten it.
All right, well, I'll let it out a bit more.
All right, well, I've got some safety pins somewhere.
My scissors.
Sissy, where are you going?
I have to go home.
What are you talking about?
Her mother and father are waiting for me.
Sissy's gone walkabout. Reg, Will.
Sissy!
Oh! I nearly forgot to say goodbye to you. Goodbye, Wilfred. Goodbye, Reginald. Wish me bon voyage.
Sissy!
I'm late!
Sissy!
Don't let them see you like this.
Sissy! Yes,
no. I have to go.
Sissy, you mustn't leave. We're doing the quartet, Sissy.
No, I want to go home.
Jean?
Is that Jean Horton? I thought she wouldn't sing anymore.
Yes, Sissy. Come with me and we'll get your luggage.
My big case?
Yes, your big case. You come with me and your passport.
Yes.
Yes, there we are. The ship doesn't leave for 2 weeks, you know.
Doesn't it?
No, we've got plenty of time.
It's the little things that get you down.
I know, but we'll get your dress fixed.
That was a close one, thing.
Jean was very good.
She was indeed.
The hip-hop boy from Reggie's class starts clapping.
Thank you, Simon.
Well, thanks, Simon.
Getting near, ladies.
Reg, ready.
Mr. Badger. You're next.
Yes. Jean, I was thinking about the sticks. I think we could get through without them.
Oh, no. No, I don't think I could. My hip's very bad today.
Well, I'm not so good, but I think we should try. It's more distinguished, more operatic.
I may have to lean on you.
Lean on Reg. You'll be much safer. And he'll love it because he adores you. Trust me.
How do you know?
I don't believe he ever stopped loving you.
Jean looks across the backstage screen to Reggie, who's still looking through his notes. He gives her a smile and pops them in his pocket.
You look very handsome.
You look very beautiful.
We're both very old. Thanks.
Then let's get married.
Leaving her looking stunned, he heads onto the stage. An ovation greets him as he gestures to Wilf, who comes on with a smile and a wave. Sissy comes on waving her arms and then holds her hand to her heart before blowing the audience a kiss. Jean comes on without her cane as Wilf closes the screen behind her. They stand together, looking with wonder at the crowd.
Were you serious?
Yes.
Okay.
Sissy raises her arms. Another ovation, and the quartet bow and then beam at each other. Reggie's hand slowly drifts to Jean's. Their fingers open, and then lock together. Jean smiles tearfully. Reggie bows. Wilf follows suit with a smile. And Sissy blows a final kiss.
Bella figlia, bella amore.
Il piangere non vuole.